ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Of course, it's feel good. I think I have a descending testicles, Jim, and also Steinberg Flavin, Epstein Barr, something. I'm not really certain.
Quartzfeldt Jakob.
Right, right. All I know is it's a good idea to go to somewhere with freezing rain right now.
Yeah.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-1-2 the phone number. Boy. Welcome to the TV board.
Cough button. That's what that's for.
Oh, there you go. Right. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-1-2 the phone number. It's Friday. That's the good news, everybody. Aye,
aye. Good morning, children.
Yeah.
From freezing New York City. It's a great day to watch John Boehner teabag the Tea Party.
It is awesome. Is it possible? Is he oranger or is that red face?
Like Godzilla versus Rodan, but there's no one to root for. It's amazing.
Good morning, sexy liberal John Fugelsang.
Good morning, LA children. Good morning, Steph heads out there.
I was telling Chris, I think it would be considered, what's the term, Chris, medically unwise for someone like me to get on a plane and fly into a freezing rain. It's my last day of steroids tomorrow, so my testicles are in spectacular shape.
John. Oh, fantastic.
However, I'm still fighting off something. But nonetheless, we are going for Sexy Liberal tomorrow night at the Catamount in Seattle. Jim Ward's coming. What? John Fugelsang, Dan Savage, our celebrity panelist guest. Very, very exciting.
Jim Ward on stage. I'm very excited about that.
Right? You can tell he's excited, too. You should see him. It's emanating off of him. All right. John, and you know how I know there's a God? Because he makes the news for you.
Oh, I know. Yeah, this is a good
Kelly
one for me.
Megyn Kelly says Jesus and Santa are white.
Just like everyone else she knows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus is God's son, and we know what color he is. There she goes, blaming it all on the white people.
Exactly. Let's, you know what, since it's the big Chris Mahana Kwanzaa show tomorrow in Seattle, let's celebrate with Fox.
When nuts roasting over Mideast fire, pundits growing a big nose, talking points being sold by big liars like Fox and Friends, media hoes. Everybody knows a turkey like Sean Hannity gets an audience that's white. Tiny-brained viewers who just don't know that what he says just isn't right. They know Obama's on his way. He's gonna take your guns and give them to the gays. And every ditto head is gonna try to prove the president is just a Kenyan spy. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to viewers, most are 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, we all voted you lose,
sir. Good day. Thank you. Rocky Mountain Mike, and of course, Mary in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
Whom we love.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Pardon me, John. Yeah, everything's
that's okay. And Rocky Mountain Mike is going to be making an appearance tomorrow.
I know. It's going to be. And the Rocky Mountain Mike players from Politically Incoherent, the hit CD. Very, very exciting. So this was the what everyone was talking about this week, as you know, John. Fox host Megyn Kelly made herself the center of racial controversy by declaring that Jesus Christ and Santa Claus are white.
Yeah, you don't need me to go into why that's horrible, right?
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, personal comedy, Jesus, we do.
Well, I don't know if you know this, but that area, Bethlehem, where he was born, is in what is now called Palestine, which is a haven for ultra-white people.
Right.
I don't know how much time you've spent in the West Bank, Steph, but it's pretty much like an albino mime school.
It's,
It's like a bunch of kabuki vampires with anemia. It is really white. And, I mean, it's just like an Old Navy ad. And the thing
which,
is...
Which, by the way, that's, as you know, by the way, Sexy Liberal Carlos sells Rocky in hour number three for Coffee with Carlos. We, as you know, he's joining the Sexy Liberal Tour in 2014. Mm. And as we discussed the other day, John, it's going to be like United Colors of Benetton, Sexy Liberal 2014. And why? Because you are not just white, you are nearly translucent. So I needed to balance you out.
Well, I'm here to remind y'all that there's Caucasians and there's white people, and the Caucasians are the problem, let me tell you. No black kid ever made fun of me for looking like an albino mime, but Caucasian kids
John
did.
Has had to turn down the many, many offers to be in the, you know, the many vampire series.
I was on CSI, and I was the first actor they ever had to darken to play a corpse.
Right.
Deeply embarrassing. But here's the thing.
So white is nearly
you,
be translucent.
You can take the
anyway,
geography.
So I'm just saying you know what you have white man cred. Ultra white man cred.
Yes.
So go ahead.
Yes.
Continue.
Well, white men and
cred?
I'm not white. I'm pale boned. First off, you've got the fact that this is Palestine we're talking about, where he was born. Not exactly the natural habitat for honkies. Then, you know, if you're to believe that Jesus and his family went to hide out from Rome in Alexandria, Egypt, you have to ask yourself, if you're trying to hide a blonde-haired, blue-eyed kid, do you hide out in Egypt? No, because he wasn't blonde-haired, blue-eyed. You couldn't do that. But the final proof is, if you go to the Book of Revelation, or as I call it, my favorite piece of Bible fan fiction,
right.
Which is where the rapture comes from. The rapture is not, of course, mentioned there. It says that his hair was like wool, mm-hmm. and his feet were the color of burned brass. Now, admittedly, the Book of Revelation,
ooh,
this guy, John is tripping his face off in a cave writing down his hallucinations. That's pretty much all it is. But other words, Book of Revelation is the part that calls Jesus, that describes him as being a black man. Megyn Kelly just called Kirk Cameron a liar.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this really was, I mean, well, it was very Fox-like, first of all, but as you know, she was responding to an article by Slate writer Aisha Harris,
mm-hmm.
and this
mm-hmm.
was actually a very thoughtful, nuanced piece, and, you know, nobody does nuance better than Fox. It was entitled, the article was entitled, Santa Claus Should Not Be a White Man Anymore. And so Megyn Kelly just says, when I saw this headline, I kind of laughed and said, oh, this is ridiculous. Yet another person claiming it's racist to have a white Santa, which, first of all, was not
nobody
at all
said that
what
that
the point
right.
was. That. And she said, and by the way, for all you kids watching at home, Santa just is white.
For all you kids watching this panel.
Right. But this person is maybe just arguing we should have a black Santa. But, you know, Santa is what he is. And so just, you know, we're debating this because someone wrote about it, kids. Wow. Of course, a number of critics, like John Fugelsang,
yeah.
quick to point out Santa Claus is a fictional character.
Sure.
A.
Well, mm-hmm. Oh, one!
And there's no shortage of folks who would call Jesus a fictional character either. But the fact is, as with most debates about religion, whether Jesus is real or myth or somewhere in the middle, it's irrelevant because Jesus was not. Jesus did not look like the guy in Jesus of Nazareth, which was the first film to show him as a blue-eyed British Xanax addict.
What about Jesus Christ Superstar? That was my favorite growing up film.
Yeah, Jesus did not sing rock songs.
No?
No.
Hmm.
He would have, though. He would have. And, yeah, you know, someone's going to get brave and make a black Jesus and a white Judas. Someday, someone will do that with the production of Superstar.
And can I just say that I am one atheist who believed that Jesus did walk the earth?
Yeah.
I thought he was a great man.
Right.
Well, sure. I mean, look, Jefferson, in his own lifetime, published his version of the Bible back when cutting and pasting really meant something literally. He cut and pasted all the parts of the Bible that he could prove, which were the narrative of Christ's life and the teachings, took out all the miracles. You know, I mean, if Jesus if he did exist, it means Houdini is the second greatest Jewish magician. But you know, Jefferson published it in his lifetime. Can you imagine a president today even admitting he'd ever read the miracle-free book of Jesus?
So Megyn Kelly went on to say, just because it makes you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean it has to change. You know, I mean, Jesus was a white man, too. He was a historical figure. That's a verifiable fact. As is Santa. I want you kids watching to know that. But my point is, how do you revise it in the middle of the legacy of the story and change Santa from white to black? This is such a ridiculous dopey.
They did it with Green Lantern.
So.
Wow.
As
I'm really kind of shocked because, you know, I thought Megyn Kelly was just a a smart, beautiful person who did a dumb, ugly show, and I'm really kind of astonished that she would actually say this. And it's going to be interesting seeing how she pushes back against it, because I know that being gracious and admitting she was wrong isn't going to happen.
She had just said, sorry, Jim, on Jay Leno the other night, I'm a straight news anchor. I'm not one of the opinion hosts at Fox.
Well, that's always been my impression of her. She, she's gone after the...
You don't watch her show then.
Well, yes, I do. Believe me, I watch it every day, John. She goes after the right, and she goes after the left. Maybe not equally, but I think she's been fair. I have a feeling that a producer set this up for her, and she just kind of went with it without even thinking about it.
Jim, what were you going to say, sir?
Oh, St. Nicholas is a corruption of... or Sinterklaas.
Right.
Is Nicholas of Myra, a 4th century Christian saint and Greek bishop of Myra in Lycia.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, he could have been white-ish, but I suspect he was more olive-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, John, you probably saw this, too. I'm reading from the article. There's little to no factual or scholarly work on the biblical figure's racial heritage, but a 2011 BBC documentary, I don't know if you saw that, Son of God, attempted to create a modern composite of what Jesus might have looked like. The analysis concluded that such a historic figure would likely have had dark skin based on Middle Eastern descent, climate in which the New Testament stories took place. Experts have decided Jesus would have been anything but pearly white, the BBC declared, as well as the ecclesiastical move John Fugel was saying. So I think,
I just was doing my PBS documentary, and we interviewed, over 180 people for this film about the American dream. And in Atlanta, I actually talked to a white supremacist, Jared Taylor, who's very well known in these circles. And I asked him if he thought Jesus was white, and he said, I think Jesus Christ, and this is a white supremacist, said, Jesus Christ probably would have looked like Osama bin Laden.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah?
Which is tasteless even for a white supremacist, but you get the point.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Meanwhile, in other news, Jim, someone's touching the Queen's nuts, and we will... talk
She's
about that.
Taking corticosteroids also?
Yes.
Right.
Right. She had bronchitis,
You can meet and grow mine tomorrow night in Seattle. By the way, I just saw this headline, Chris, flash across. Seattle police find 2,500 stolen bottles of wine. I am not even there yet. I am here in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Just saying.
Yeah, but your advance people probably did it for you.
Yeah, Roland, I think, might be there. Roland's getting ready for me.
Yeah.
He's getting my mini bar stocked.
Send T-Bone up there on point.
All right. Bar.
Get those last tickets for tomorrow night. It is going to be the extravaganza, Chris Mahana Kwanzaa extravaganza of all time, the final 2013 Sexy Liberal. In honor of that, Sexy Liberal John Fugel spent all 3 hours with us. Back to a jumbo size, which we are very, very excited about. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Fridays with Fugel saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the Political Party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie and Jim aren't here. I'm here.
Well, hi.
Are you okay?
Gastrointestinal emergencies, both of us. Oh, we're like the jalopy at the end of Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, God.
Okay. Bye.
I was doing something over here. I looked up, and the music was ending. And,
everything's good. 23 minutes after the hour. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying. All right. 1-800-STEP-12. Don't free from anywhere. Hey, how come we can't have this?
What?
Ryan Seacrest's company party, his Christmas party.
Yeah.
A guy with assless chaps showed up dancing outside on the sidewalk outside Luteria Restaurant here in Los Angeles.
Is that so unusual for a Ryan Seacrest party? Do we know this?
We can't afford a holiday party.
Aren't all chaps assless? Aren't all chaps assless? Otherwise, they'd be pants.
We can't afford the assless kind. We have to have the assful kind.
Right.
I thought assless chaps referred to skinny British men.
Yes.
He's funny.
Did you just talk a loogie?
Yeah, I'm sick.
And me too.
Okay. All right. All right, so, we are having a Christmas party. It's tomorrow night in Seattle.
Oh, I'm not invited.
No, you're not.
We'll be in the emphysema ward.
Yeah, exactly. Jim and I will be in the TV ward. John will be out front with the regular folks. But hurry and get your tickets. Come join us tomorrow. Oh, and by the way, proceeds the Sex Liberal Cause, once again, John,
yes,
is Gilda's Club.
Oh, so I hear. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, and I have an amazing letter because, you know, when we get, when you call your own ambulance when you're feeling whiny, mm-hmm, I have to read a letter of somebody that's coming to Sex Liberal Seattle tomorrow night. The reason we all should be there. All right, KB in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, KB.
Yeah, good morning. I wanted to weigh in on the whole Jesus Santa Claus thing.
Yes.
So, you know, if the Jesus described in Revelations that John just referred to lived in the southern United States in the 1950s, he would have had to sit on the back of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right,
you know, Santa Claus is a fictional character,
right?
And so, ultimately, Santa Claus was my parents, so in my case, Santa Claus was black.
And that was, by the way, KB, the whole point of her piece is that, you know, it's talking about the effect on kids, and, you know, that was, and it was a very thoughtful piece, I thought, that's exactly right. For a lot of kids, you know, the reality, it was interesting. Mediaite, John, wrote a good piece about it. It's all come to this, of all the absurdity that's emerged from the war on Christmas, trademark. There has been nothing so surreal as a hard news anchor weighing in authoritatively on the racial identity of a non-existent person, which is what happened on the Kelly file, discussing a Slate article that suggested a more inclusive Santa. Mm-hmm. That was the idea of the piece. Megyn Kelly repeatedly informed the kids that Santa Claus just is white, and Jesus was a white man too, as we've been discussing. Slate's Aisha Harris wrote a thoughtful piece about the effects of cultural exclusion from a dominant American symbol of childhood, as our caller, as KB was just saying, and suggested that Santa Claus be transformed not into a black man. Mediaite says, good thinking, because Black Santa would get down exactly one chimney before getting shot in the face. I think
stand your ground, kids.
Right. But
Megan's willing to let a few elves be black this year, but let's not rush things.
Anyway, she sort of whimsically suggested a penguin, I guess, to spare millions of non-white kids the insecurity and shame that she remembers from childhood. So anyway, of this essay about inclusion, then Kelly said, oh, I laughed. This is ridiculous. And it just I think, John, you're right, like sort of willfully misinterpreted the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, who knows? I haven't seen the actual clip. I've only heard the thing that maybe Megan was trying to be funny. I don't know. But the fact is, you know, the only white people in the Bible that I can tell you are the Romans. And Mel Gibson might be very fond of them, but they're the ones that killed Jesus, not the ones that were Jesus.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, we were saying, and they do this a lot with Fox, as you know, is these straw man arguments. Nowhere in the piece said it's racist to have a white Santa. That was not the point of the piece, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
It's racist to hate Santa because he's white. See, it's really simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, the real St. Nicholas was born in Turkey, although his nationality was Greek.
Turkey?
Turkey?
So he could be Muslim.
Yeah. Well, that was when Constantinople, you know, wasn't Istanbul yet.
Right.
Turkey?
Right. Okay. Which brings us to it's time for another dispatch from the war on Christmas.
Coming this December on PBS, the new documentary series, Dispatches from the War on Christmas.
Dear Piper, here in northern Pennsylvania, the war on Christmas can be seen in every front yard and public space. Yesterday, we marched past a town square that had a giant inflatable Frosty the Snowman right next to the nativity scene. I'm sure that poor baby Jesus was frightened half to death, and I know the sheep were scared. My men and I are doing our best to stem this tide, but I'm afraid I won't be home for Christmas. I miss your white skin and your soft body, which remind me of a bag of marshmallows on top of a platter of sweet potatoes. Your loving husband, Major Rufus B. Leaking, 5th Regiment, Northern Pennsylvania.
Dispatches from the War on Christmas, coming this December on PBS.
Wow. Rufus B. Leakin.
I feel like I've been molested by Ken Burns.
That was Kenny Pixie and Messaging Matt,
yes,
all from the live blog. Thank you, kids.
And from Turn Up the Night as well.
Right.
Yes.
And now from the wildly popular Dispatches from the War on Christmas, by popular demand. Now I'm listening just for the names.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last one. All right. Much more to come. We've got Coffee with Carlos Alzraki, Sexy Liberal, mm-hmm, at hour number 3. And what do we owe our good fortune to? Sexy Liberal John Fuglesang, all 3 hours.
Wow.
Jumbo size. This is Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'll drink a couple of quarts of eggnog and fall asleep in front of the TV.
Glug, glug, glug. 34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by SodaStream. Hooray.
But can it Corey Apple?
Pardon me, John?
Can it Corey Apple?
No, it can't Corey Apple.
No.
Sorry, it was a little Honeymooners joke.
Oh.
All right.
I never saw the Honeymooners.
Oh, you are just deficient. Okay.
To the moon, Alice.
Okay.
One of these days.
Friday.
Oil up.
Friday's with Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying, who will be with me on stage tomorrow for the final 2013 Sexy Liberal. So John Fugel saying, not the greatest of, I'm having a bad
life.
Right. However, last week, as you know, I lost my L.A. station, my studio, and my voice. But, and we all get, you know, a little bit baby whiner, whiner baby. And I've got to read this letter, John, that I just got yesterday. Because I'm, you know what I mean? We love doing Sexy Liberal, and we are... our cause, I believe, the last 2 years was Gilda's Club, Gilda Radner's Club for helping people with cancer. Anyway, I got this letter, a love letter, from Mike, who will be there tomorrow night. Steph C. at Seattle Sexy Liberal, my wife of 40 years, Barb Parker, and I will be attending our third Sexy Liberal show in Seattle. And I'm hoping you can give her, Barb Parker, there she is, a shout-out. We're doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be sitting, write this down, John, mezzanine, B3 and 4.
Okay.
Here's why. My wife has been an up-and-down journey with her breast cancer. After discovering a lump Labor Day 2011, she began her journey starting with surgery and chemo, which 90% of the women treated show no recurrence for at least 5 years. 2012 was spent recovering from the treatments, and we attended the 2012 Sexy Liberal Show. This past summer, 2013, the cancer returned in force and in different places throughout her body. I bought the tickets when the return to Seattle was announced, but it was not clear at that point that she'd be able to be at the 2013 Sexy Liberal Show this Saturday. I bought them hoping she'd be able to be there and laugh a bunch. Well, after radiation and 2 chemo treatments, we are going to be there.
Wow.
It'll be our first date night since early... This made me cry. I'm still going to cry again. It'll be our first date night since early August, dinner and the show. Thanks for providing me this opportunity to bring some laughter into Barb's life right now. Things have not been very funny lately. Thank you very much. Mike Parker. Do it. Come out and celebrate with us for Barb. Let's all have some laughs. It's been a year for everybody, John. It's been a
tough year, and it's going to be an amazing year next year. And we got to get people inspired now because it's going to be the most recent, most important House election of our lifetime.
Well, yeah. I mean, I read a really great piece. I can't remember by who, but you know, about people like Rand Paul talking about like, oh, you can't give people unemployment after a certain time. It does a disservice to them. I mean. You know, before Christmas, it's sort of this like judging poor people like by their character, like oh, they're just lazy and stupid,
exactly.
And and it's just
because people who are getting unemployment love it. It is so awesome being poor right now in America and getting subsistence funds from the government.
Right.
It rocks.
I mean, it's not the spirit of Christmas or Jesus or any the things that they purport to believe in, right?
Yeah, but you know what? It's like this is what you say to your right wing uncle. Struggling Americans, your fellow countrymen who lost their jobs, just like it could happen to you very easily, they're not dependent on government. They're dependent on food. And subsistence living from unemployment benefits or SNAP benefits, it's not an awesome way to live.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look at our man of the year, Pope Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Once again, he said Pope Francis made yet another strongly worded statement on growing inequality and economic injustice, this time slamming outsized salaries and bonuses for corporate executives while others survive on crumbs. He said the succession of economic crises should lead to a timely rethinking of our models of economic development and to a change in lifestyles. Almost exactly what I think like Bernie Sanders said last week, among others.
Yeah.
You know, and then you've got people like Rush Limbaugh that mock it. Did you see what he said that, President Obama had an orgasm. Did you hear what Pope Francis said? President Obama was having an orgasm over it. Really? You people, you are an awful person.
Yeah. You know, I love it when guys who want to defund government workers' pensions that our government workers were promised that they didn't take Social Security benefits because they knew they were getting a pension, and now these Republicans who want to cut these pensions to solve budget problems, I love hearing those people talk about redistribution of wealth, because taking the salaries and benefits promised to our employees away is redistribution of wealth the GOP can believe in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was Charles Blow in the New York Times, one of my favorites. But he it was a piece called The Appalling Stance of Rand Paul. And he said, John, I do support unemployment benefits for the 26 weeks that they're paid for. If you extend it beyond that, you do a disservice to these workers. I mean, anyway, he says this strikes at the heart, were a heart to exist, of the divide between conservatives and liberals about whether the social safety net provides temporary help for those hit by hard times or functions as a kind of glue to keep them stuck there. And he just goes on to say, whereas I am sure that some people will abuse any form of help, I'm by no means convinced this is an exclusive domain of the poor and put upon. This is exactly what Pope Francis is talking about. Mm-hmm. Business and the wealthy, Charles writes, regularly take advantage of subsidies and tax loopholes without blinking an eye. But somehow when some poor people or those who unexpectedly fall on hard times take advantage of benefits for which they are eligible, it's an indictment of the morality and character of the poor as a whole. We've gone from a war on poverty in this country to a war on the poor, in which poor people are routinely demonized and scapegoated and attacked, and conservatives have led the charge. They paint the poor as takers, work averse, in need of motivation and incentive. While that is simply not my experience with poverty, I've been poor. Both my parents worked. I grew up among poor people. Almost all of them worked. And anyway, he just makes a really good point. He says, in fact, the poor folks I knew growing up were some of the hardest working people I knew. He just talks about how it's the height of arrogance, callousness, and disrespectful, the kind of language that the Rand Pauls of the world use.
Well, it's the height of America hate. You know, patriotism is a really fun football to throw around to pretend you can wrap yourself up in the flag and that makes you a patriot. But they're not loyal to America. They don't love America. They love their concept of what America should be, but they don't love the real America. And these guys like having high unemployment, and they like people having no money in their pockets. It keeps wages down. It keeps people desperate and financially insecure. It keeps stock prices up, and it's not sustainable, and it's not sane, and it's not moral, and it's not patriotic, and it ain't conservative either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and you know, look, we're here talking about, you know, what's going on with us personally, but this has been tough times for a lot of people economically in this country, and you know, I think that's the thing. I don't know whether they've lost their empathy gene or they never had it, but you know.
They're traitors to America. These are people who have no problem with this. These are the people who like the Confederate flag for decoration. They hate America.
Right. Right. Well, we were saying, like, we've had this show 9 years. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, we'll continue. But before that, I was out of work 2 years. I know what it's like. We all feel like we're one, you know, step away from unemployment. And I think that Charles Blow's piece is really good because it's just in terms of demonizing people's character. You know, like, people are automatically lazier or stupid that find themselves out of work, right? I mean,
Yeah, well, that's okay, because Paul Ryan has solved everything by having a bipartisan budget deal, and that's what he's going to run for president on.
Yeah.
Paul, meet the Tea Party.
Yeah. I was reading a piece about, John, I know you've done work for, you know, in Haiti, and I thought, again, like, just in terms of putting things in perspective, when we all get, you know, wah, wah, wah about ourselves, I was reading this piece. How many years is it now after the earthquake? I can't remember.
Was it two or three?
In Haiti, that was 2010.
Okay.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, it was about, a 13-year-old girl, Nicholas Kristof, wrote about this past Sunday. They said, you know, however many years after afterwards, she lives in a rat-infested shack made of old USDA grain sacks. She rarely has enough to eat. Her dad just died. She doesn't have the $200 for supplies to go to school. You know, I mean, it's just, and that's the kind of thing that I think, it's just the way people talk about foreign aid or poor people, even in this country. I just think interesting we have the ecclesiastical MOOC here, my personal comedy, Jesus, because it's just, it's un-Christ-like, right?
Well, Jesus said, you received without payment, now give without payment.
Yeah, exactly. Dion. You know,
but they're not capitalists, they're not patriots, they're not Christian, they're regressives.
Yep. Dion in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Dion.
Hi, Stephanie. It's Dion. I'm in North Dakota. And I was wanting to just express real quickly, even though I am in the upper part of the middle class, the whole reason why they are wanting to keep the social service nets and take them out from underneath people is in order to make sure that people accept cheaper wages so corporate America doesn't have to lower or get rid of any of their bonuses.
Right.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
Right. Right. That's what I mean. Well, it's just what I was saying, John, about the Charles Blow piece. What, you know, all these loopholes and all the people that things rich people do, how is that not, you know, taking handouts?
Oh, please. How is Mitt Romney storing all of his money in the Caymans so he doesn't have to pay taxes on it? Patriotic. I mean, it's like everything these guys claim to be, they're the opposite of, and they prove it time and time again. You know, Robert Reich said it best. The issue is not the size of government. The real issue is who the government's working for.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 45 minutes after the hour, we roll along on a festive Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
See, because we're talking about income.
Inequality.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number this hour brought to you by No
Harry. Kevia sounds hot.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Let's see. This question from Eileen. John Feudelsay, David Mamet robot.
Huh?
Steph, his brisk syncopation and constant stream of witty one-liners is incredible. He's like some sort of political talk android programmed by David Mamet.
I don't think David Mamet programmed me.
Toss some water on him at some point and see if he starts sparking and smoking. I don't think that's true.
No,
you're not a
put
David
a glass of wine in me and I'll do that.
You're not a David Mamet robot.
No, I would love to be a David Mamet robot, but if I was, I'd be saying horrible things about the Palestinians, probably.
There's that.
You are a real live boy. Kim in St. Paul, you're on with John. Hey, Kim.
Hey, speaking of the war on the poor, so here's another fine example of how our system basically believes that affluent people need incentives in order to do the right thing, while poor people need to be punished, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so because we itemize our taxes, we get to deduct our charitable giving. So we only actually give 60 cents on the dollar of what that check is actually for, because we get the rest back on our taxes.
Right.
And so that very money that we're giving to charity, in fact, is sort of coming back to us from the government, because otherwise we wouldn't give to charity, I guess. Right. Even though the amount of the deduction we get is going to, you know, could easily pay for SNAP benefits or unemployment or, you know, you name it, extend that for some families and make some real differences in people's lives.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I was going to say, I forgot the Seattle thing. By the way, Yes, because I was saying we're giving to Gilda's Club.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all for a good cause tomorrow night in Seattle.
Seattle, want to end 2013 on a high note? Then get your tickets now for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, coming to the Paramount Theater December 14th, 2013.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to sexyliberal.com for ticket information and all things Sexy Liberal. Once again, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Paramount Theater on December 14th, 2013. Be there and brace yourselves for some sexy liberal action.
Woohoo! Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. He will be there opening up the show with the Rocky Mountain Mike players. By the way, John, Rocky Mountain Mike asks, could you please have Megyn Kelly play Jesus Is Just All White with me? Mike, you scamp. Okay. By the way, so speaking of income inequality, everybody's been talking about this case. Dear God, the rich Texas teen got probation for killing four pedestrians while driving drunk.
Yep.
His defense, they had a psychologist that said he suffered from affluenza.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning he's so affluent, his parents didn't properly set boundaries.
Yeah.
So.
Mm. It's a sociopath.
He's been sentenced to go to a fancy Newport Beach
yes.
rehab?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
Malibu,
thank goodness.
I think.
No, Newport Beach.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. A North Texas teen from an affluent family sentenced to probation this week after he killed four pedestrians when he lost control of his speeding pickup truck while driving drunk. A punishment that outraged the victims' families and left prosecutors disappointed. 16-year-old was sentenced in Fort Worth Juvenile Court to 10 years of probation. Prosecutors had sought the maximum 20 years in state custody, but the attorneys appealed. The authorities say the teen and his friends were seen on surveillance video stealing two cases of beer.
Wow.
Kid from a rich family, so first of all, he stole the
beer.
Yeah. He had seven passengers. His truck was speeding, had a blood alcohol level three times the legal limit.
Oh, my God.
He slammed into four pedestrians, killing Brian Jennings, a 43-year-old youth minister, Brianna Mitchell, 24-year-old, Shelby Boyles, 21, and her 52-year-old mother.
Oh, my God.
Holly Boyles. Boyd said the programs available in Texas juvenile system may not provide the kind of intensive therapy the teen could receive at the rehab center near Newport Beach.
Intensive therapy.
Well, these are youthful indiscretions. I mean, we can acknowledge that at least, right?
Eric Boyles, who lost his wife and daughter, said the family's wealth helped the teen avoid incarceration.
Yeah.
Money always seems to keep you out of trouble. He said, ultimately, today, I felt that money did prevail. If you had been any other youth, I feel like the circumstances would have been different. As I was saying, an expert psychologist called as a defense witness said the boy suffered from affluenza growing up in a house.
That's not a real thing!
Where the parents were preoccupied with arguments, I guess, over money, whatever, that led to divorce. Oh, boy.
Wow. You know, we live in a country where spoiled rich kids who drive drunk can become president, so I don't know why we're shocked about this.
Yeah, Texas seems to be chock full of youthful indiscretions.
Yeah. Billy in Texas. Speaking of Texas. Hi, Bill.
How's it going? Listen, I really bristle when you accuse conservatives of hating America. That's a bald-faced lie.
Excuse me? There we go. Hey, Mr.
He's
Strawman.
Talking to me. He's talking
Strawman,
to me.
Strawman, where you been?
No, he's talking to me.
Oh, really?
I said that we have, I don't say all conservatives, sir, but we have some regressives in this country who love their idea of America. They hate the actual thing that exists here now.
Liberals have to lie to get their agenda across. It's like,
that's not a lie. You're hating me right now, pal.
He's the same slogan over and over again.
Come on. What have liberals lied about, sir? What have liberals lied about?
Obamacare. He lied about Obamacare.
How so? What have liberals lied about? Come on, man. Listen, I know you love insurance companies, and I know they've had it tough for a long, long time, and they appreciate you fighting for them.
Right.
And I know poor people are lazy, and they deserve to die because they can't afford insurance. I know all that. But really, mister, you know the Affordable Care Act is a GOP plan, right? You know that. Heritage Foundation invented it. Heritage Foundation invented it. Governor Romney implemented it. A Republican Supreme Court upheld it. But you can't stand that a Democrat made it law, right?
You're just lying.
What am I lying about?
What part of that was a lie?
What did I lie about? What's one thing I lied about there, sir? Break it down.
Arguing for the insurance companies. That's a lie.
Pardon me?
What?
What did you say?
You are defending insurance companies and the status quo if you are not for the Affordable Care.
Sir, are you a socialist?
Am I a socialist?
Yes, sir.
You idiot. What do you think if I'm a socialist?
Well, then why are you standing up for socialism? Because that's what you want. If people aren't insured, they go to emergency rooms and local taxpayers pick up the tab because they're not insured. That's the status quo you're fighting for, hero. Why are you a socialist when President Obama found a free market solution to the health care crisis?
Get your agenda across without lying, and you know it.
It's a free market solution.
All right.
It's a free market solution. It gives tons of money. The liberal plan, sir, is single payer. The Democratic plan is a public option.
That's
the conservative plan was a mandate. That's what we got.
Billy, thanks for calling us on No Name Calling Week here on the Stephanie Miller Show, you douchebag.
You idiot. Stop name calling, idiot.
He hates the actual America. And here's, facts, too.
Well,
we're going to have 2 more hours of this idiot, John Fugel, saying, and I could not be happier about it. Take that, Billy. Back with a jumbo-sized Fridays with Fugel saying on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, a jumbo size Fridays with John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. All 3 hours with us because we are off to Seattle tomorrow night for the final 2013 Sexy Liberal Extravaganza. We, of course, did our East Coast, right, John, inauguration. Sold out the Warner in D.C. We sold out Chicago Theater in the spring. And here it is, our final 2013 West Coast show in Seattle tomorrow night. We're very, very excited. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Oh, and the next hour, Coffee with Carlos Alzraki, newly minted Sexy Liberal, who will be joining us in 2014. We're very, very excited. Let's see, what do we got here? Oh, Phoenix, February 15th, Madison, March 29th, Albuquerque, Saturday, May 10th. All of those tickets. Actually, Madison, I believe, is already sold out. Sorry about that, but you better hurry on the rest of that. Oh, by the way, John, what was our CD then? I can't remember. Stephanie Miller Unleashed, something like that. Back, you know, Carlos Alzraki was my original voice guy. That's how we met Jim. He's Jim's friend. Jim used to fill in for Carlos. But I think you remember that's when, in honor of Megyn Kelly, who just said that Santa Claus is white.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, every year there'd be that, you know, controversy when some mall would hire a black Santa.
Yes.
Yes. And you remember. All right.
Ho, 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 dee, ho. Santa is in the house.
For you, Megan.
What's your name, pretty little white girl?
Cindy.
Yeah, and what do you want, little white Cindy, for Christmas?
A beanie baby.
Yeah, well, why don't you get your white corporate daddy CEO to buy it for you then, huh? Why don't you just rip off one of them little yarmulke beanies off one of your Zionist friends, huh? Yeah, because you think Santa is your slave, huh? I ain't no slave. You want Santa to come into your house down your chimney so you can call the police on him. Well, you can get the hell out of here then, little white racist supremacist skinhead girl.
About a bicycle,
Ben. Oh, a bicycle, huh? A bicycle with a chain, like my ancestors used to wear. Like in the movie I'm a Star, but you ain't gonna see that. You gonna watch Little Miss White Mermaid for the 50th white time.
Oh, dear. That didn't go well.
It's too bad her name wasn't
an
Megan.
An Amistad reference.
Yes. Yes.
It's too bad her name wasn't Megan. That would have been
yeah.
Funny. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. 1-800-STEP-12.
Bicycle with a chain.
All right. A love letter from Barry. Steph, stumbled on your show about a year ago on Current TV. Have been addicted ever since. You and the Mooks are the right kind of sick. Well, thank you.
Aww.
Actually, Jim and I are the wrong kind of sick right now. And the right kind of sick. Keep up the great work. Please come back to New York City. Oh, yes, sold out show at the Beacon last year.
Where the Rolling Stones played.
Right.
2 years ago.
Yes, exactly.
The bloody guy.
And we are coming back to TV thanks to all the fine Americans that donated to Free Speech TV. Well, we're depending on technicalities, right? Either January 2nd, January 6th, around there.
Or January 8th, maybe.
Yeah, we'll be up and running on Free Speech TV.
We'll let you know.
And thank you for your generosity. Let's go. Keep going. Keep going, kids, on that. John with another love letter.
Okay.
John writes, Steph, you cried when we all donated to get you on Free Speech TV. I did. It was a wonderful life for Mama over Christmas. Lots of angels got their wings. It was like, Lucy and Ethel in the Chocolate Factory. So many angels were getting their wings. It was incredible. Well, I cried this morning when I learned that KTLK is going to the dark side. That's our flagship affiliate here in L.A. I mean, I really did cry. I'm a 51-year-old, stoic, usually accomplished professional man, happily married, barring Steph fantasies. That's okay. For 30 years. The news has struck me deeply, so deep I can't even analyze it. The only other two times I felt this way are when my boyhood dog died. And Magic Johnson announced he had HIV. We love you. After all these years, we feel you're part of our family. Chris, Jim, Steph, thanks for all the laughs, information, validation. Thanks, Science, for XM, iHeart, podcasts. We'll never miss a show, but I'm really sad for pure AM radio listeners in L.A. I am, too. Because I'm an old, broken-down old radio warhorse.
Sure.
I still believe in the public airwaves. I believe in, as I've said many times, they don't belong to me or Sean Hannity. They belong to the American people, and I still, so we'll see.
Although, AM radio, when you're going by power lines.
Right, right, that's right. Technology is outrunning it. But we still have a lot of fine stations out there, Chicago, Minneapolis, et cetera. And so we are continuing. A lot of confusion. We are continuing, and we will keep you posted on new stations, and we will be back on the TV. And as Chris, there are numerous ways to get us
on the TV.
Just in general.
Oh yeah, well you can stream us at stephaniemiller.com. You can podcast us. Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Yes.
And we haven't changed that price in 9 years.
Right.
So that's still a bargoon.
There you go.
You can get us on various apps like TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, on Stitcher.
ProgressiveVoices.com.
ProgressiveVoices.com or on the Stephanie Miller app.
There you go.
You can get us on Free Speech TV at freespeech.org and on the Free Speech Roku app.
There you go. All right. And the very exciting news, Jim Ward will be at Sexy Liberal Seattle tomorrow night. Suck it up.
Ew.
By popular demand. And I'm not sure if he'll be taught. I mentioned one of the major stories in the morning. The Queen is upset about people touching her nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Queen Elizabeth so annoyed by police officers eating nuts laid out at Buckingham Palace that she marked a line on the bowl to monitor the level. Jurors heard at the one of Britain's tabloids' phone hacking trial.
Oh, boy.
The News of the World royal editor had been convicted of eavesdropping on voicemails of the royal staff.
Uh-huh.
And the 2005 email claimed royal staff had put out a selection of nuts, including cashews, almonds, and Bombay mix around the palace.
And what?
Goodman wrote, problem is that police on patrol eat the lot. Memo null gone around to all palace cops telling them to keep their sticky fingers out.
Huh.
Queen so narked? Is that a British word?
I guess.
She has started marking the bowls to see when the levels dipped. Buckingham Palace declined to comment on the nut allegations. Other than I can imagine she was not,
It has come to our attention that certain police officers have feasted upon the royal nuts. And no, we are not referring to Prince Charles' nether regions. Ew. Rather to a reception at Buckingham Palace, wherein certain bobbies have been observed stuffing their porcine snouts with cashews, almonds, walnuts, pistachios, macadamias, Bombay mix, whatever that is, etc. Until there were none left for ourselves. They ate the lot, the swine. In a less enlightened time, they would have had their fingers lopped off. We are royally narked to the extent that we have marked the bowls to see when the levels dipped. If this insouciance continues, we shall be forced to remove their nuts. We leave it your imagination to which nuts we are referring. Liz, out! And yes, we are somewhat amused.
There's not a comedy bit in the country this morning that used the word insouciance.
No.
And what the hell is Bombay mix, anyway?
I have no idea what Bombay mix is.
Bombay, it probably has curry in it.
It's curry. I bet it is. I bet it's curry nut mix. Hello.
Which type of nut do you like? Press any key.
By the way, speaking of inappropriate humor, Jim, did you hear that the head of Lululemon got fired?
Yeah.
Lululemon?
That was why, because he said something really racial about selling to the Japanese market, why he named it the company. So, because he goes, it's funny to watch them try to say it. Oh, my God.
My God.
He also said fat chicks just shouldn't wear
right.
Lululemon.
He said they're not. It's not for everybody
yeah.
type.
Yeah, because their thighs rub together.
Rob Ford wears
he
Lululemon.
He said that.
Oh, God. Yes, so when they asked why the name of the company, he goes, because it was funny to watch the Japanese. See, if he had a real sense of humor, he would have hired Tom Brokaw to be the spokesman. Or, you know.
This is Tom Brokaw for NBC Nightline News. For Lululemon, sponsoring tonight's broadcast. Why did it have to be Lululemon?
Oh, boy.
Chris in Indiana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing
good.
Today?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, I'm just calling about that last caller, the feigned... I care about lie Republicans. I used to be a Republican, but I noticed one thing. When Republicans lie, bad things happen. I mean, Reagan lied about trickle-down economics, and 30 years later, the world's economy collapsed. Bush lied about weapons of mass destruction. 400,000 people in the Middle East die, and it cost our country $4 trillion. Their opposition to lying is who it helps. If it's going to help the average person, they don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, with Obama, even if he did lie, we're going to end up with cheaper health care,
right.
better health care, and more people alive.
Yeah.
When Republicans lie, bad stuff happens.
Right. It's about, you know, saving people's lives, not unnecessary war. That's a really good point. I mean, that's what I've been saying about, you know, was the president less than concise about which plans were grandfathered when? It's like, what? So what? How many people are going to, more people are going to be alive as opposed to what he just was saying, the lies that led to how many people dead in Iraq? Michael Tomosky, who we just talked to, and I love more every day. I love his piece today.
You want to sex him, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I want to sex him up and down. He wrote a piece, Tomosky, told you so, Obamacare's back. I love the meaner quality of some of these. He is frequently right. I'm just saying.
It's a catastrophe. It's the worst thing ever. It's fine. Now.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's fine.
Never mind.
He says from an atrocious starting point, enrollment on healthcare.gov is essentially quadrupling. As predicted, by next fall, the law is going to be a net plus for Obama and Democrats. This is what he's been saying, you know, on our show and others. He said, wishful thinking, you can call it that if you want to, but I warn you, I'm not usually a wishful thinker. I write such things only when I mean them, like the time in August 2012 when I wrote a column suggesting Obama could very well win 330 electoral votes. He won 332, which most everyone else said when I wrote that piece, I was crazy. Except for me, Michael. I had a hunch then, I have one now. My bet is based on a lot more than enrollment numbers. It's based on the numbers of people who are benefiting and will benefit from aspects of the law. These aren't in the thousands, they're in the millions. About 70 million citizens will enjoy free preventative care for a range of services that typically weren't covered at all before or at best were covered and required a copay. And about half of them are Medicare recipients, equal voters. Mm-hmm. Preventative care, as you know, something our system hasn't been doing very well. Now it will. More than 100 million Americans live with the insurance companies what were defined as pre-existing conditions over these next few months as their symptoms flare up, or especially if they worsen, requiring lengthy hospital stays, intense treatment. They're going to be seeing that they don't have to fret about money or whether they're going to continue to be covered anymore. Mental health coverage is going to be improved dramatically for up to 60 million Americans. You know, if we just, if that helps reduce the number of mass shootings by some quota, you know, would that not be an amazing thing? Nearly 7 million senior citizens are going to find in the coming months that they're no longer screwed by the donut hole prescription drug problem that was created by Bush Medicare Part D and corrected by Obamacare. And you know, you're seeing that 7 million seniors saving on an average of $1,000 a year, which is a lot for a lot of seniors. He says the thing is this isn't going to make all the papers and cable channels much. There isn't a lot of inherent news values and free cervical cancer screening or prescription drug refill, but these millions of people live real lives, not on TV, and they and their family and friends will know what has happened. I think those are all really good points about, you know, he's talking about the media cycle. He said, Washington, D.C., I can promise you, be the last city in the U.S. to change its mind about Obamacare. Once a notion becomes conventional wisdom in this town and rocks a president's poll numbers, the way the rollout clearly has, it takes a typhoon to dislodge it or a hurricane. And he says the rollout won't be a hurricane. It'll be a calm rain, a steady shower of reality across the country that may never quite achieve enough force to trump inside the Beltway perception, but will be strong enough to change many people's minds around the country. And I think that's absolutely what's starting to happen. He makes an interesting historical point. He said one can also say now that in a historical context, this is all happening pretty fast. Remember the original Social Security legislation passed in 35? You remember this, Jim. When did the first check go out? Not until 1940. Can you imagine a five-year lag in today's media world? He says Roosevelt, more important than the program itself, would have been torn to pieces. I mean, that's an interesting, we would not, that interesting point. We would not have had it today if we had this kind of 24-hour.
Instant gratification now.
Yeah. I think in two more years' time, and indeed less than that, many millions of Americans will see that what they thought was decent health insurance before the Affordable Care Act was like a gaslight before electricity.
Instant gratification in the 30s was a letter getting there, you know, within a week.
Right.
Yeah, a week, yes. All right. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Fugle saying he's off doing Seattle interviews. He'll be back in a moment as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Pajamagram. My cat needs some pajamas.
It's the cat's pajamas.
Yeah. They are literally the cat's pajamas. All right, Greg in Mississippi, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Greg.
Hey, hi. Stephanie.
Hi.
You know, I had the I used to listen to you on KABC in Los Angeles.
Oh my God!
So I'm happy to find you on Sirius.
You are old like me, Greg.
Unfortunately, yes. But the reason I'm calling and I talked to your screener was that one thing about that I don't see that the shows like yours or the Rachel Maddow show are picking up about the insurance is that living here in Mississippi, we had trouble getting any, the state had trouble getting any insurers to even sign up for the exchanges. The vast majority of the state is covered by only one insurance provider. Only the areas right up, I think, up by Memphis are covered by two. And what we see here, you know, of course, we're now the 49th least healthiest state, and that was trumpeted as an improvement. So we have, and we also obviously have a very large poor population.
Right.
And what we're seeing is that our insurance costs are actually very high. And so while I think overall for the country, I think the insurance, we'll call it Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, I think overall for the country is a good thing. I think that for large populations like California, like New York City, or populations that are relatively healthy and large like California, I think it is a very good thing. But there's the other half of the country where you have a rural population, less health, less money, and unfortunately on top to pile on, Governor Bryant here refused the Medicaid
expansion. you know, look, that you know, you can't really say that enough. It's obviously working better in states that are, you know, expanding Medicaid, that are doing the exchange as well, which you know what that means. People in Mississippi, they're peeking over, and what are they saying? Kentucky, what do you got? Why can't we have that?
Stuart?
I don't think Mississippi directly borders Kentucky. They have to look over Tennessee.
They can see far enough.
They can
know
see
what's
Russia
happening
from their house.
Right. Hey, why can't you use all that? Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Nick in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Nick.
Hey, sweetheart. How you doing?
Hello, little lamb chop cakes.
Yeah, you can do it. All right. Hey, I was just noticing that a lot of these Republicans seem to have, you know, this belief that whatever these corporations or these high, you know, bigwigs tell them, that they believe it in this little Mickey Mouse, Norman Rockwell utopia, that they seem to believe that any change that comes along, Obamacare or actually the Affordable Health Care Act, and anything that comes along just terrifies them. And therefore, if you bring out the truth, it must be a lie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Billy in Texas is paid to say that. Okay. A man's got to make a living.
Yeah, you know.
Listen, you got to let him troll when he needs to. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
News. Rudolph, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Stephanie Miller.
They're all on TV this week.
Well, in a couple of weeks.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Free speech TV. Very, very exciting. In January.
Christmas time.
Thanks to people like John Fugelsang, who did a fabulous video message for us for Free Speech TV. Thank you, John Fugelsang.
Very happy to.
Appreciate you very much, sir. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. He just got done with Seattle interviews. He will be on stage tomorrow night as Seattle Sexy Liberal. Very, very exciting. Jim Ward getting ready to come with us. Dan Savage, our celebrity guest panelist. It's a big Chris Mahana Kwanzaa show. Very exciting. Get those last remaining tickets. 1-800-STEPH. More importantly, John, someone knows what Bombay Mix is. Charles in North Carolina. The Queen was upset about people touching her nuts, including her Bombay Mix.
That's right. Yes. And I should give you this real quick to honk you off.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Hooray.
Okay, well, I used to teach school, and one of the places I taught was in Fiji, and they used to sell Bombay mix quite a bit. It's basically a type of dried pea. They'd have these little sesame sticks in there, which they spiced up, I guess, with curry and some other spices.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, of course, they'd have peanuts and pistachios.
You were right, Jim. It's a curry-flavored nut mix, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's basically it.
All right. Thank you.
I always remember this. I've asked you to marry me, Stephanie, but I don't want to be accused of robbing the cradle.
Thank you. Thank you, Charles. I appreciate it. All right. I love you.
Or maybe Bombay mix is something they cooked up in the middle of a B-52 when that's on the bombs.
Right. They're spicy, the little peas. They're not, what's the kind of...
Wasabi peas. Wasabi.
Right, not the kind Saddam used to eat. Remember, Wahhabi peas. Those are different.
Wahhabi peas.
By the way, speaking of ruthless dictators, Kim Jong-un just had his uncle killed before Christmas.
You're a bad man. Very bad man.
That's going to be awkward.
That's exactly what would have happened if Fredo got to run the Corleones.
Hey, uncle, could you... Oh, never mind. He can't pass anything because he's dead. Thanks a lot.
Kim Jong-il is like America's Twitter troll with nukes.
He said these pants make my ass look fat.
What did his uncle do exactly? What did he say? He had him executed, technically.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because that inspires confidence in the rest of your staff.
I had him eliminated.
Stop it.
I wonder if he's going to be buried in Lululemon's. He was executed as a traitor, having been found guilty of, quote, attempting to overthrow the state by all sorts of intrigues and despicable methods.
Despicable.
With a wild ambition
intrigues?
To grab... That's what he said. With a wild ambition to grab the supreme power of our party and our end state. It's just awkward when you kill your uncle right before Christmas. Kevin in D.C., you're on.
It's going to end well, isn't it?
Wow. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Hello.
As always, your voice makes me instantly have a big smile.
Right, right. particularly now that my testicles have descended since I'm taking steroids for my voice.
Thank you so much for the image.
It's hot, 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 hot.
Well, listen, did you see, apparently President Obama's prediction is going to come true, at least from what I've seen, in terms of, you know, Obamacare, that they stopped calling it that. Now that the website, you know, works better and they've exponentially got people signed up on Fox and Fools a couple of days ago, except for one slip by Steve Doofus, Ducey, when he started to say Obamacare, but then he called himself into the Affordable Care Act. And on Chuck Todd's show, there was I forget his name, but he's a new, because he has several clips of him, you know, bad-mouthing it, but then he recently said maybe we should do something to work with what he was on. And he also, except for one slip about calling Obamacare, he changed to Affordable Care Act. The point is, when it was poison, they were all calling it, you know, Obamacare. But now that it's better and, right, you know, all these news stories about, you know, people being helped, now it's Affordable Care Act. Is Obama corrected by the time this time next year, it'll probably be called the Romney Care Act or the Republican
yeah.
Care Act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're just saying all that because you're mad because Santa's white. Just
oh, can I please say something about that?
Yeah.
Is he kidding? I couldn't. There's very few times where literally my jaw was up. I felt my jaw on the floor.
Yeah.
Really? They had a serious discussion about that? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fairness,
listen,
Megan Kelly's
I have
not...
sat on your lap at DC Sexy Liberal, and Christmas came early, let me just say. I think Santa could be black. What? What am I saying?
Yes. Well, you're welcome to sit on my lap.
Why, thank you.
When we take back the Congress next year.
You're welcome to come up my chimney anytime. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, John. I am all...
You're making Santa
come early. I'm hopped up on goopers.
Look, we have to get off Megyn Kelly's case. She's not the first person to confuse Jesus with Frosty the Snowman, who is actually white.
By the way,
I will not argue that. Frosty
is white.
Which one
melted by the radiator? I forget.
Oh, no. No. That was Frosty the Snowman melted in the greenhouse, and Karen sat sobbing over the puddle. Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that.
You're a sad little man. Chet in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chet.
Hi, Stephanie. How's my favorite sexy liberal?
Thank you. Very, very, very sexy. particularly my testicles.
Oh, yes. Even with testicles notwithstanding, I still think you're a real sexy liberal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyway.
Think of them as Christmas balls.
Yes.
Little ornaments.
Jingle bells and everything
balls,
like that.
Jingle balls.
Yeah. I have jingle balls.
All right. That's good.
All right, go ahead.
I wanted to make a point about the Affordable Care Act, particularly that other guy from Mississippi who called in who was whining that, you know, he's going to pay a lot because he lives in a state with lots of fat people who have diabetes and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's exactly what he said, but okay.
Well, I think we should infer that if you don't mind.
Right, okay.
Anyway, I wanted to point out that under the Affordable Care Act, the insurers can only really charge differential rates for three things. One is how old you are. Two is whether you smoke or not. And the three is where you live. So he does have a point that they can, you know, charge you a little more because you live in a state with lots of fat diabetic people.
Right.
Which means to those of us on the fiery progressive left, maybe we should have thought about that when we casually discarded the public option.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or single payer, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe that would have solved that problem.
Yeah.
I said thanks for using infer correctly.
No, you're quite welcome. That's one of my little things. You know?
It's very rare.
My self-worth is really, you know, dependent on that, and it's great. It saves me from depression.
Well,
yeah.
good. And we're happy to defer to you and your use of inferring. And that's what I meant to imply and infer. Thank you, Chad. All right, good.
Are you insinuating something about inferring?
I am not. John Fugel saying, what are you implying?
I'm not implying. I'm insinuating.
Fred in Chicago, you're on with John. Hi, Fred.
Yeah, that last guy, couple guys ago was right. You know, you watch. If Obamacare works out fine, Republicans are going to try and take credit for it. They're going to say it's because of the big stink they raised over it and all the battles they fought. You know,
right.
You watch.
Oh, in 20 years, Glenn Beck will be telling us how Republicans led the fight for marriage equality.
Yeah, he. Ha-ha.
And Mandela was a conservative.
Oh, by the way, since the ecclesiastical move, he has never accused me of anything except inferring the wrong implication. Evil Uncle Chuckles, Pat Robertson, man of God.
Yeah.
on the 700 Club of People of the Lesbianic Nature.
This is Catherine, who says, growing up, I had a best friend. We parted ways after high school. 10 years later, we got back in touch. I'm really glad to see her because I've always thought of her as my sister. But recently, I invited her to meet my children. She said yes and asked if she could bring her, quote, partner. I don't feel comfortable having her around my children. Should I keep this friendship?
Well, the idea is you don't gain anything by shunning, but at the same time, you don't want your children to grow up as lesbians. So that's what you're talking about.
You
don't
shunning.
Want to show them that that's an acceptable lifestyle for your family.
Wow. I would be so thrilled if my son grew up to be a lesbian. Let me tell you, I've tried my entire life. I've dreamed of being lesbian.
Got the
my son can achieve my dream.
Oh, boy, mama, don't let your babies grow up to be lesbian cowboys.
Then they're at Home Depot. It's awful.
Oh, it's awful. Wow, that was really mean. Wow. Now, looky here. I got a love letter of the opposite kind. Robert writes, Steph, she contributed to the free speech campaign.
Yay.
To get all of us back on the TV. Steph, I believe in you guys. I think we'll ultimately win against the lies and money the right wing are wielding right now. I've been listening to you since I was in college. W was in the White House and we were at war, and you all were the only things keeping me sane, allowing me to follow the news and yelling at the news. You got to yell at the news.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Steph, you are a role model to my adopted lesbian daughter. You and more people like you need to be on the air. Jim, Chris, and you guys are each one-third of the show together. You all produce magic 5 days a week. Aw, Robert, thanks for the donation. And you're welcome for the magic.
Magic? This is magic?
Whatever.
It's a pain in my ass.
Just go with it. Not as big a pain as my ass. Okay. All right. Yeah, that was, wow, that was incredibly mean, wasn't it? Don't let your...
Burn and ring of fire.
That's incredibly mean, especially because lesbians are never, ever badmouthed once in the entire Bible. People think Paul's talking about him in Romans. He ain't.
Right.
The Bible has one piece that's against men with men, but nowhere is it against women with women. God and Vivid Video have the same policy.
Yep.
Exactly. Thank you.
So God lives on Ventura Boulevard. No, in Coinga Pass.
We're all in Raul in Chicago on my testicles. Not literally. Hello, Raul.
Hey, this is actually Val.
Val.
Okay.
Yes. Now, Steph, you can be officially called a teabagger.
Oh, that's right. I could actually perform the teabagging demonstration tomorrow night, John. I may have to teabag you.
Right.
We may need to switch things up. Okay.
Yes, I think we're liberal enough to have a gender-neutral teabagging day.
Just make sure that they're freshly no-noed, okay?
Yeah.
That's a lot to swallow, Chris.
Yeah.
I remember one, three-way teabagging between John and Aisha and I think it was in Detroit that was quite disturbing.
Yes.
It was like some sort of version of car wash meets a three-way. I don't really remember.
My life only gets to peak once, and it happened in Detroit.
Car wash meets
Caligula. Who can say that?
That's
45 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with Bugles Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party, 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller. Can't you see I'm burning alive? Can't you see my lady? Got another lover. I don't know how I'm gonna survive.
I get it. In honor of, what do you call it?
Robertson.
Pat Robertson. You said you're playing a lesbian now. And I said, me too. Okay. And we had forgotten before. Well, Pat Robertson just advised someone not to bring her lesbian friend around her children.
Right.
Because you don't want your mommy.
Because you might catch gay.
Right. And we were at Rocky Mountain Mike, John recalled the pastor in North Carolina. What was his name?
Charles Worley.
Remember
Reverend,
that guy?
Very, very Reverend Charles Worley.
He said we need to build us some lesbian zoos.
Yeah.
I figured a way out. A way to get rid of all the lesbians and queers. Build a great, big, large fence.
From in my heart, I implore you.
Put all the lesbians in there.
There's a lot of work to be done.
Do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals.
Multiplication.
You know why they can't reproduce?
We'll still have to feed everyone.
Fly over and drop some food.
We've got all you electric lesbian zoo.
and make the fences higher.
Take your 100 mile loan.
We're gonna trap all of you with electric fences too. It's all here in our flyer.
Great big large fence. And have that fence electrified till they can't get out.
Wow. Great big large, you're saying our asses are fat. Is that what you're saying?
I got a
Pastor?
Big ass. I got a big ass.
Big lesbian ass. That's Chris.
Yeah.
Make sure you drop sushi. Okay. What sort of food do you drop over the lesbian too? Of course.
Something that
sushi.
Tastes better when electrified.
And sausages for the homosexuals and queers.
Right.
Yes.
It's two distinct groups.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, God.
Queers.
The gay zoo. Wow. Time to feed him the bok choy.
All right. We are in the midst of the Fridays with the John Fugelsang, sexy liberal extraordinaire. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Oprah got a SAG nomination, did y'all hear, for her work in The Butler.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy Kimmel had a good joke. She said, He said, I hope this honor gives you the confidence to finally put yourself on the cover of your magazine. Because it's funny, because she's on the cover of everyone.
Every issue, yes.
In case you forget.
Exactly. Noel in Los Angeles, you're on with John.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Stephanie, I think that little clip of Pat Robertson and the woman who was talking about her lesbian friend, that is such a reflection, and it's so telling about who Republicans really are. These people lack the decency that ordinary people, everybody should have to embrace people who are gay and lesbian. But no, they need to seek out others like Pat Robertson to tell them how decent they should be. This is who these people are. They're absolute pigs.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Oh, my. Okay. Richard in L.A., you want to correct John on the Bible, you best bring it,
wow.
My friend.
Uh-oh. Please, correct me.
Richard, you're on with John.
I'm making it all up like a signer at a South African funeral anyway.
He got it in. He slipped it in. He didn't tell me I'm pretty. Go ahead.
Well, he is the ecclesiastical mook, and it's been a long time, and I'm so glad to hear and speak to you again, Stephanie,
yeah.
Member from HRC, and et cetera.
Yay.
He said a man, the Bible says a man shouldn't lie with a man.
And Leviticus says that, yes.
He says, as with a woman, in both verses that are referenced. And that's a big difference than just saying a man shouldn't lie with a man. A man shouldn't lie with a man says no, yes, that would say and mean that homosexuality between two men is wrong. And again, it has nothing to do with women, like you say. But it doesn't say that. It says a man shouldn't lie with a man as with a woman, which is what most gay men do when they play this top-bottom game, and which is to say, I'm the man, I'm the top, and you're the woman, you're the bottom. And, of course, they'll go into denial when you say it, but that's
wait.
The bottom line.
Wait. That's one way of phrasing
line.
It, sir.
But
wait,
not
what?
All, not all gay men like myself engage in that.
Right.
Of course.
I'm not a man. I am a man, and I'm attracted to men, and I'm not looking for a woman. So I want a man who doesn't want to play a woman.
Got it.
If I want a woman, I'll be with a woman. But
so you think the Bible was referring to specific sexual positions as well? That's what you're
saying. Exactly.
Well, what you have to keep in mind about you know, Leviticus is that this was really a guide. It was really all about how to keep the tribe's numbers up. And gay sex was bad because it meant less people and less reproduction. That's why all those laws saying that mildew was an abomination. And most of it is about food preparation and how to preserve food. You know, the Ten Commandments could also be called the top 10 tips for keeping your nomadic Hebrew tribe's numbers up high. And
I'm unclear what he was talking about, John. Is this the kind of gay sex you have that makes it right or wrong?
You shall not lie with a man as with a woman, so don't touch your man friend's vagina, is what
right.
The point
yeah,
is.
I think
your man's vagina.
He's saying I lie with a man like a man and not like a woman. And
I
get what he's saying. He's not talking about necessarily a penetrative or top-bottom relationship,
right.
But as we all know, not all heterosexual or gay or bi relationships are like that. And
right.
And sex is like religion.
This is making me very uncomfortable.
Sex is like religion. It's not one size fits all.
Are there videos that
about the straight people that engage in that sort of...
In penetrative sex?
Right.
Yes, that's on the Gospel of Craigslist. Straight people that... Oh, yes.
Oh, in...
Right.
Bottom
what
sex.
Are we talking
yes.
about?
Yes! You know what? Let's just move on.
Are we talking about... There's nothing in the Bible against consensual penetration of the kind you're talking
okay.
about. I won't call it sodomy because that's not what sodomy was about.
Right.
Goodness,
that's what it's about.
Oh, look at the time. Steve...
And that could save a marriage, by the way.
I love how you're squirming. Oh, my God, it's the best thing ever.
Steven.
Isn't that a Billy Joel song? Sodomy.
Since I've grown testicles, this is making me very uncomfortable.
As well it should.
Steve in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Steve.
Stephanie, where is this lesbian zoo you speak of? In
my house.
There's probably a line of men around the corner to see, go to the zoo.
Yeah,
don't feed the lesbians.
Yes. Trying to peek in the electric lesbian zoo.
Right.
Yeah, they're going, hey, what you got in there? Hey, got any more hot lesbians? Nancy and Madison, you're on the...
Hi, I'm calling since John is on today. I hear stories about Walmart having to have food drives for their employees, and we have corporations that steal people's houses and pensions, and, you know, we have the teabaggers that cheer this behavior on. And yet I wonder what's wrong with this country when we have more care and concern for corporations than we have care and concern for our neighbors.
Corporations über alles.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All corporations are people, my friend. They're more lifelike than I am.
By the way, Mitt Romney and his buddies at Bain, they didn't do this corporation at Clear Channel many favors.
No.
Except for $30 billion in debt. Thanks.
That's a lot.
Thanks,
well
Mitt.
Done.
Thanks a lot. Okay, we continue Fridays with John Fugel saying, and sexy liberal Carlos Al's Rocky joining us for coffee with Carlos live in studio, as well as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Chuckling warmly at old memories.
Oh,
6 minutes after the hour. No, why? Because it is hour number three.
That's good coffee.
I take it back, like my man.
Coffee with Carlos El Rocky.
I'll have a Zimbabwe latte.
I'll have a Kenya cappuccino.
She never has a second cup of coffee at home.
Mountain grown coffee.
Carlos El Rocky.
I was going to make espresso.
And picked by Juan Valdez.
Coffee with Carlos.
Good to the last drop.
It's rich Corinthian leather.
Corinthian, it's like Corinthians means vinyl.
Good morning, sexy liberal Carlos El Rocky. Meet sexy liberal John Fugelsang live in the New York Bureau.
That's right.
Oh, nice to meet you, Carlos.
Nice to meet you, John Fugelsang. I think we met in Cabo.
We met a few places.
You put the wabo in my Cabo.
Thank you. They love me in Cabo. They still call me Gringo Mejor, whatever
There's
that is.
Nothing sadder than two straight men with new babies flirting with each other.
Yeah.
Dear God.
Gringo Alto, the tall white man. He is white like Jesus.
Like anyway, we were reminiscing about the old days.
I have a disclaimer. This was not my fault.
It was not my fault.
I was very tired. I was sleeping on padded envelopes, and Chris would wake me up with, like, hot coffee on my face. Get out.
Sleeping on
with the same
envelopes.
Phrase every day when we were doing old bits at KBC, you would say,
wakey, wakey, hands off snakey.
Right. Yeah. And then Carlos
would get up and do comedy.
And there was a lot of, because it's funny, Megyn Kelly just said that Santa Claus is white and caused a whole new controversy, and every year there used to be controversy when some mall would hire a black Santa.
Black Santa.
As you recall.
They're cheaper.
Ho, 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 de ho! Santa is in the house! What's your name, pretty little white girl?
Cindy?
Yeah, what do you want, little white Cindy, for Christmas?
A beanie baby?
Yeah, well, why don't you get your white corporate daddy CEO to buy it for you then, huh? Why don't you just rip off one of them little yarmulke beanies off one of your Zionist friends, huh? Yeah, because you think Santa is your slave, huh? I ain't no slave. You want Santa to come into your house, down your chimney, so you can call the police on him. Well, you can get the hell out of here, there, little white racist supremacist skinhead girl.
I sound like Stephen A. Smith.
Bicycle,
huh? A bicycle with a chain, like my ancestors used to wear. Like in the movie, I'm a Star, but you ain't gonna see that. You gonna watch Little Miss White Mermaid for the 50th white time.
My name Kim Jong-il. I want a nuclear arsenal. Wow.
There you go. That's for you, Megyn Kelly.
Wow.
Kim Jong-il
extremely racist.
I told you it was beyond borderline racist.
Oh, man. But he just recalls the old Fred Sanford episode. Hey, Esther, why don't you stick your face in some dough and make some gorilla cookies?
Oh, my God. The actual joke
from the show.
Yeah. Red Fox could get away with that. Yes.
Red Fox, actually, Chicago Red, used to work in a Harlem nightclub with Malcolm X, Detroit Red, at the same time. Wow. In the back of the book.
Wow. Hey, speaking of nostalgia, interesting. This is here. Ben writes, hey, Steph. I enjoyed listening to your program on KBC 790 AM in L.A.
Wow.
Yeah. I actually called for a missing part for my house to some Panasonic place. And the guy goes, oh, Stephanie Miller from KFI. I'm like, a thousand years ago. But anyway, he was a big fan. He gave it to me for cheap. So anyway, the point is, in Los Angeles, I remember hearing some of your political radio skits about Al Gore, Bill Clinton, and Monica Lewinsky. There was one that had Bill Clinton offering a cigar at the White House Oval Office to a visitor, and then the guest commented after lighting up, asked if someone was cooking fish. Do you remember that?
Wow.
Not specifically.
Wow.
I was wondering if there's a way to listen to that in some of your other skits from back then. Boy. I moved to Portland, Oregon, and tried to explain the skit to some of my friends. They thought it was very funny. It would be better if they could hear it. I recently found your website on the Internet. You know what? We actually have those. We should give them for a premium for Free Speech TV. We have the old CD. I have a bunch of them.
You have them on CD?
They're all carts.
No, I have CDs of the old bits.
Do you really?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that? She was in there.
I say one a week.
Yeah.
One a week.
Yeah.
One a week we should play. Oh, they were horribly.
Horrible.
Well, even Jesus Christ Superstud, would we give that out as a premium?
Sure. That's on the CD.
Didn't we do one when John Denver passed away and Billy Bob Thornton was his mechanic?
Yes. Martin, sorry about that. Man, get a turn. Propeller the wrong way.
Rocket Mountain High. It was really distasteful. Really bad.
Sorry about
Jesus,
your plane.
I'm going to go further than Megyn Kelly.
I remember that. All ready to go up.
It's all set to go up. It's all set to go up right then. You should be all right then, right? I put it together with biscuits and mustard. Now you look like potted meat. You look like a Denver omelet.
Some people say you're the comedy referee here. Has there been enough time since the tragedy for that to be comedy?
Yes. There really
has. For the tragedy of Billy Bob Thornton beating Arthur Miller for an Oscar for that movie? What?
Oh, dear God in heaven. All right.
I'm going to go farther than Megyn Kelly and say Jesus had a white twin, and they're Edgar and Johnny Winter.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Frankenstein and Free Ride.
We used to have
two albino cats, Johnny and Edgar.
Well, I remember that.
Well, Jesus were white. It must mean that people that put him to death were also white.
Hmm.
Well, we know the people who put him to death were white.
That's right.
They're the only white people in the book.
Right, exactly. Kimberly in North Carolina, you're on with the assembled mookage. Hello, Kimberly.
Hey, how's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
The reason I was calling was Pat Robertson had said that if you allowed your lesbians, they would catch the gay.
Right.
Well, that was the case from elementary school through high school with all my female PE teachers who just couldn't find the right man. I should be swarming in the gay by now, you would think.
Yeah, I'd be Rick Taylor if gay were communicable.
Yeah.
Exactly, because they never could find the right man, but they could always find the right comfortable penny shoes.
Here's
my theory on Pat Robertson. Yeah, my theory on Pat Robertson is I believe that God leaves him on earth because he doesn't want to put up with his crap either. So eventually either God or the devil has to take a choice. One of them's got to take him because I'm just tired of him.
One of them's got to go down to Georgia.
Oh, thank you, Kimberly. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was going to say that recalls another horribly inappropriate Carlos El Shaarawy bit. Remember the Pat Robertson message to Disney World?
More hurricanes?
Right.
Let's see if Chris can find it.
I don't recall anything distasteful that I've done in my life.
Uh-huh.
Except for being on this show once a week.
Because he said that gays caused the hurricane. At that point, gays caused the hurricane in Florida.
Absolutely.
Right. Oh, because Disney World allowed
Gay Days.
Gay Day. Right. Exactly right.
Gay Day. It's the cleanest the park ever looked.
Buddy.
Oh, boy, my shoes are so shining.
Tuck that shirt in.
Karen in Los Angeles, you're on with Carlos and John and Jim and Chris. Hello. Hey, Karen.
Hello, group.
Hello.
Hello.
This is actually for John. You know, everybody's talking about, how can you know, everybody be so caring for corporations and not for humans. Hey, John, can you explain to everybody what the prosperity gospel is?
Oh, the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel is sort of like your get-out-of-hell-free card by ignoring everything Jesus says. It's more or less, it's more like the Hindu notion of dharma. If I'm rich, it's because God wants me to be rich, and that's my job, and we can forget everything Jesus said about that. The fact is, this is a big Joel Osteen thing, and a lot of these guys who make a lot of money, because I don't know if you know, but God needs cash.
Yeah, Chuck Smith, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren. I mean, mm-hmm. It's spreading like wildfire.
And the prosperity gospel means even though, well, here's the great thing. When they, you know, Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. And it's a great little metaphor. What they say is this made up thing, which is say, well, when Jesus said eye of the needle, he was actually referring to the gate in the city. It was called the eye of a needle, and it was a little tricky for a camel to get through it. And I'm like, so what you're saying is, your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was lousy with metaphors. That's what you're saying, because it makes no sense.
And that's why people, we have become so callous. This has been going on since the mid-80s. This has been going on progressively between evangelical Christianity, which is basically John 3:16, John 14:6, and Revelations, which is the only thing they pay attention to. Mm-hmm. And then prosperity doctrine, they have completely stopped teaching Christianity. They have, you know, none of the parables, nothing on the Sermon on the Mount, nothing that Jesus ever said. Because if you ever get into an argument with these people and you start bringing out real teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, they're like, huh?
Huh? Mm-hmm. They should write a new book called Go Forth and Let Your Money Multiply on the Free Market System.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, I was going to say, John, if that was a war on metaphors. It's Sarah Palin, of course, has been the front of the war on Christmas, and she's doing a war on metaphors and prepositions and every other... And everything else in the English language.
And second terms.
Right, right, exactly. Because she is, you know.
So are you ready for some good old-fashioned words?
Oh, God.
The war on Christmas is the tip of the spear in a larger battle to secularize our culture. And make true religious freedom a thing of America's past. I bet Charles Darwin never understood this. If the world could be described as truly survival of the fittest, why would people collectively be stricken with the spirit of generosity in December?
Huh?
Walgreens' 24-page nationwide circular used the word holiday 36 times without one mention of Christmas.
Shocking.
It's about that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes who arrived long before hope and change became political manipulations. There are few things that anger a secular liberal atheist more than a horizontal plank intersecting a vertical plank across. On public land.
Yeah. It pisses me off too.
Hoo-ah! I couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, little dumber girl.
Thanks for explaining what a cross looks like.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. No one could have.
So, talking about the thing on which Jesus was crucified and celebrating it for Christmas.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because that's what Christmas is all about. Yeah. Jesus' execution by the state.
Sadly, Carlos, we have found the bit, the Pat Robertson bit.
Oh, boy. Oh, let me go to the bathroom.
I had nothing to do with it.
45 minutes.
Maybe I did. I don't know. I can't remember.
Should we play it after the break?
Would you like to?
Let's play it after the break.
I was just in his studio last week. I was doing the Ed Schultz show, and I was in Virginia, and I had to go to his university, to the 700 Club to do a hit for MSNBC.
Oh no.
They were very nice to me, but I can still smell the sulfur.
Right. This is when he criticized Disney World for causing the hurricane because of Gay Day.
Yeah.
And he said it was not a hate message to the gays.
That's
right. We'll play that when we get back. 18 minutes are after the hour. We've already been fired, so it's, you know.
Sure.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. 22 minutes after the hour. What happens when Coffee with Carlos gets into a Fridays with Kugelsang?
We're finding out.
Yeah. Spontaneous combustion.
Coffee with Kugelsang.
It's a sexy liberal. Kugelhoff.
You got your meth in my coffee.
very excited that Carlos Alzraki is joining Sexy Liberal in 2014. As I was saying, it's going to be like...
Pool scene, that's right.
Yes, United Colors of Benetton. It's to balance out the not just white, but nearly translucent John Fugelsang.
I will be cooking for the crew.
You make it sound like he's going to have a quinceanera on stage.
Absolutamente, sí.
Claro que sí.
Phoenix is going to be a really fun night.
Yes, and we have many more announcements to come. This one, let's see, Tamara, going to be there tomorrow night, John, with you and Hal, and Jim Ward will be there with us, and Dan Savage on panel. Hey, Stuff, just finished listening to your podcast in the tub, sipping red wine. Oh, what a lovely idea. Very excited about the show. We have VIP seats. We'll be in the second row. That's tomorrow night in Seattle. I've been listening to you since the early days. Love waking up with you every morning on Current. Very excited about all the new changes. Oh, me too. I recently subscribed to the Stephcast. Anxiously await your debut on Free Speech TV. Making my donation today. AM's old school. And I haven't listened in years. Love you and the Mooks. You kept me saying all these crazy teabagging years. Next year should be a doozy for sexy liberals. It is true, John Fugelsang. We have new crazy comedy toys to play with next year.
We got to save the Senate. It's up to us.
Yes.
Right.
Save the Senate? Is that what you said?
Uh-huh. And God save has given Senate. Us Steve Stockman, among others. Crazy teabagger that's going to teabag John Cornyn in Texas.
Hey, let's get Boehner. Boehner's mad at him.
Did you hear about that guy? He got arrested once for having a Valium in his underpants.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when your penis is tense.
Mm. Got to relax. Right? Make it flaccid.
Just saying. I have empathy for him. All right. So, we found it, sadly.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Boy.
Oh, no.
Classic comedy.
Well, this because Pat Robertson said yet another homophobic crazy thing yesterday.
Oh,
and
yes?
This was the time he said Disney World caused the hurricane in Florida with because of having Gay Day.
Yeah.
And he said this is not a hate message for homosexuals.
Wow.
Attention, faggots. This ain't a hate message. But I wouldn't go waving your flags down there. I wouldn't go poking God with a sharp stick. He ain't going to like it. He's going to be sending some hurricanes down there, some terrorist bombing, possibly a meteor, maybe an anvil or a giant rock or a safe with a rope on it, a grand piano. Things are going to be falling out of the sky. People with bad breath. Alligators going to be walking on their hind legs, chewing up baby children, all because them faggots want to have their little parade.
I knew that word came up.
I do not condone the F word. Wow.
I didn't remember that
it
came up right out of the box.
See, we thought in making fun of homophobes that would be okay.
Wow.
It says no.
It's a little jarring. It's a jarring.
Deeply offensive. Wow.
Attention, bundles of sticks.
You wouldn't even play Bill Maher calling California a socialist fagophobia.
You're right. I wouldn't.
And that's a made-up word.
I know.
Jeez, that two F bombs.
I kind of forgot that was in that.
Yeah.
Wow. I knew it was there. I didn't know it came up that quickly.
Talk about a war on Christmas. That was a war on class. Holy cow.
I grew up on. I grew up on Long Island where they were more tasteful. I was called faggotized. And that was
faggotized.
That's when they were throwing gum in your lustrous hair, right?
That's when you get clothes back from the dry cleaners and they look really nice. Hey, you got Martin eyes.
1 hour.
Yeah,
one
hour faggotized.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Mama.
Merry Christmas.
You're the Blessed Virgin with your three wise mooks.
Thank you.
I bring myrrh.
He's the lesser virgin.
Muy felices Navidad y Año Nuevo, the Senior Carl.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yo hablo Espanol Jorge Augusto.
That is horrible. That is George Bush level of horrible.
That's right.
Hey, Mama, the thing about this, the myth of the liberal media, and it didn't get much, but they fired Martin Bashir for saying Sarah Palin's a world-class idiot, and she is, but he said she doesn't understand slavery, and she doesn't, but he gets fired. But, who's it? Mark Halperin goes on Joey Squint Eyes and Minka.
Right. And Squint and the meat puppet.
Yeah.
And calls the president a Richard, and nothing happens to him.
Yeah.
He got suspended for a couple of days, and to his credit, Scarborough blamed him saying that on the producer not hitting the 7-second delay and badmouthed the producer for it. Yeah, but Halperin still got a job.
I happened to see that by random chance, and they sat there and laughed their butts off when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like this. And you know, and so the idea of liberal media, please.
Yep, exactly. Please. Brad in Madison, you're on with, oh, good God, everybody. Hello, Brad.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, well, first off, good morning, kids.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got a question for John.
John,
you've helped me out a few times on different stuff with my religious buddies that have gone just way around the bend. Hmm. But you were talking the other day about rapture junkies, and I realized half of my family thinks that way, and Christmas is coming up, and I have to be there. What the hell do I respond to any of that crazy crap with?
You can talk about how it's irrelevant to the teachings of Jesus, and just leave it at that. I mean, the rapture itself was created by John Darby, a British clergyman in the 1800s. So it's the word rapture is not in the Bible. So this is sort of like Bible fan fiction, you know? Like, The Godfather 3 was crap, but at least it was made by the guys who wrote Godfather 1 and 2. The rapture is just, you know, and you can tell on this also, the guy John narrating the book of Revelation, it's not John the Apostle. He's some other guy named John. He's obviously eaten some tainted shrooms and is stripping his face off in a cave and writing it all down. And if they really want to believe in the rapture, then they have to acknowledge the book of Revelation is the part of the Bible that describes Jesus as being black.
I believe in the rapture, but blondies. I prefer blondies.
In Wisconsin, the rapture is not happening until Aaron Rodgers' right shoulder gets healed, okay? That's a fact.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
tells little kids that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is an alcoholic.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Coffee with Carlos Alzaraki. Fridays with Sexy Liberal John Fugel saying it's all one big Sexy Liberal explosion. We have crossed the streams, sadly. Mm. Oh, I'm sorry, Black Santa. You had some more thoughts for Megyn Kelly?
Yeah, because we were throwing out the Amistad reference back then. I didn't have no 12 days of Christmas. I had 12 years of slave. On the first day of Christmas, my true master gave to me a whooping and a branding. That's what happened to me. Oh. And I realized I sound like Stephen A. Smith, sports fans, because the Lakers will not win a championship until Phil Jackson comes back. And don't you kid yourself that Mike D'Antoni is going to make it happen in the city of Los Angeles. For you Stephen A. Smith fans.
All right, Megyn Kelly, that's just for you.
Oh, Megyn Kelly.
For you.
No, Newsbusters, that's for you.
Okay.
Quiet Santa.
We were just, he wanted to update the Amistad reference.
Remember on your show?
12 Years a Slave. He wanted to do an updated reference.
That's right. And way back before everybody was doing Christopher Walken, we did Christopher Walken as a Santa Claus, Mall Santa Claus.
Did we really?
Yeah. And
I don't remember that.
No, on our TV show.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 40s.
Oh, that's right.
Remember
back
that?
In the 40s.
It was not in the 40s,
and it
Carlos.
Was, what does Timmy want for Christmas? Oh, Timmy wants a bike. Does Timmy want a boy bike or a girl bike? Because Timmy looks like a boy, but he's been crying like a little girl. The lines are too long for Santa. Well, guess what? Timmy wants a puppy. There are no puppies, Timmy. The puppies died. They crawled underneath the newspapers because they couldn't stand you crying. You killed the puppies, Timmy. Merry Christmas.
Also, you complain of standing in line. I've been sitting here for days, peeing in my boot.
The line wouldn't be so bad if there was more
cowbell.
Right.
More cowbell.
The cowbell on the tree.
Exactly.
36 times the war on Christmas. 36 times the world holiday.
Sometimes.
It was in a Walgreens flyer.
At night when I'm in my sleigh.
36 right. times.
Oh, also, people want to know if we can do just a little bit of dueling Robert De Niro's.
Bit. Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
You.
Little bit.
You want to fight
so
me?
Little bit.
You got a grudge?
A little bit.
A little bit. You. No, okay. You.
You.
No, you a little bit.
You. You got
enthusiasm. Why don't you go behind that wall, your coat. Yeah.
Enthusiasm.
Just walk a few steps right there, your coat.
Enthusiasm.
There's a new coat for you right behind the wall. He's waiting for you.
John, okay. do you wanna pipe in?
Please.
I actually do a bit of De Niro speaking American Sign Language, so it doesn't work.
That's okay.
But I might do it tomorrow night. We'll see.
Are you going to make the sign language interpreter say dirty things about you like
I
you did last
so,
year?
I hope so, because we had a sign language interpreter at Seattle last year, and that wound up being half my act, so I hope she's back this year.
Oh, man.
That's
racist.
Hilarious. Hilarious. By the way, guess what the sexy liberal gods have brought us for 2014? Not just Steve Stockman. Republican Congressman Ted Yoho, who's kind of a...
Yoho.
No. Right. He's the cow doctor.
Uh-huh.
Right. He honored the Sandy Hook Massacre with free gun buying class for kids.
Oh, my God.
I am looking at the flyer. I kid you not. Right in front of me. A GOP congressman honored the first anniversary of the Sandy Hook Massacre of 20 first grade children and six adults by holding a gun safety and gun purchasing class Saturday, December 14th.
I don't mind the gun safety part. I actually don't. That part I don't mind.
Right.
Gun safety, good. Gun purchasing,
It read, please bring your family and kids for an educational event. He urged his constituents via Facebook. Looking forward to seeing you there. In January, he had suggested the Second Amendment gave U.S. citizens the right to own nuclear weapons.
Right.
Yeah, it lets their well-regulated militias do that.
So there's that guy. Okay.
That happened.
So that happened. All right. I love this piece today. By the way, we know we have a little budget situation. Brian Buettler in Salon. Obama's shutdown critics look like morons after the budget deal. Guess what, tired Beltway pundits? Obama's successful leadership from October brought an end to the GOP hostage taking, in case all y'all haven't been paying attention. Yeah, Paul Ryan actually said we've got to find a way to make divided government work.
Wow.
Well, that's new.
Wow.
It's coming around.
Yeah. Very hard to look back at the events, Salon writes, of the past couple months and not credit Obama with provoking this about-face. Ryan was a leading advocate, as you remember, of the view that Republicans should use the debt limit to force Obama to agree on the to a budget on GOP terms. He said, I think it will fold into the debt ceiling fight. Remember that, Ryan? I think that's inevitable and preferable, in my opinion. I like combining all our leverage, which is sequester and the debt limit. Nobody believes Obama won't negotiate. That was the last time.
Yeah.
And he was wrong, 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 budget monster. The deal he struck with Murray wasn't negotiated under threat of default, and it contained, Salon writes, none of the fruits of the right's extortion fantasies. And by the way, the plan should have been just as acceptable in September as it is now, but Republicans weren't temperamentally prepared for it. They were still spinning on their backs in the Walmart parking lot. It's only happening now because Obama refused to be extorted into accepting a GOP-authored plan and legitimizing the kind of brinkmanship that has defined the GOP's House majority since 2011. John Boehner's getting awfully orange and feisty, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I'm the most conservative guy around here.
Oh, did you hear this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
They pushed us into this fight to defund Obamacare and to shut down the government. If you recall, the day before the government reopened, one of the people at one of these groups stood up and said, well, we never really thought it would work. Are you kidding me?
I mean, he teabagged the Tea Party.
Yes, oh, my God.
Hell yeah, it'll work. I've already been offered a lobbyist job. I don't need this.
Yes. They said hell yes to this
hell
budget.
Hell no, you can't.
Yeah, well, hell yeah, you just did this budget. The Boehner yesterday.
Wow.
Second day of teabagging the teabaggers.
They're misleading their followers. I think they're... pushing our members in places where they don't want to be.
Ouch.
The Boehner again yesterday.
I'm as conservative as anybody around this place. And
Rhino.
All the things that we've done over the 3 years that I've been speaker have not violated any conservative principle. Not once.
I'm so drunk. I'm so sorry. I've been drunk for 3 years now. Okay.
They're misleading.
Oh, this is the John Boehner again on the teabaggers.
Yeah, all right.
John Boehner. Here he
is. I thought it was my job and my obligation to stand up for conservatives here in the Congress who want more deficit reduction. Stand up for the work that Chairman Ryan did.
He said, I think they've lost all credibility, the teabaggers. Yeah. Here he is again.
When groups come out and criticize an agreement that they've never seen, you begin to wonder just how credible those actions are.
Well, it also is John Boehner outing himself as a puppet. It's more or less him saying, back when I was saying how much I supported this shutdown and when I was saying how much we need to repeal Obamacare, I was lying and being pressured into it.
I was drunk.
I love this. When asked if he was commanding the groups to stand down, Boehner shrugged and said, I don't care what they do.
I sure care. Screw them.
Wow. Let's go to Carolyn in Ohio, Boehner country.
Give me some more rye.
And bitters.
Oh, my God. I was dying. I mean, I did a spit take when he's like, are you kidding me?
Kidding me?
What the hell?
The Buckeyes lost to Michigan State.
Dying. But, I mean, I think maybe he wasn't drunk. Maybe he's sober. I don't know. But that just, I was losing it. Yeah. I loved it.
He got visited by three liberal ghosts.
Yeah. he's all chuckly.
Workhouses? Prisons? These are the institutions our taxes are paying for. Hell no, you can't! You gotta get rid of the surplus population.
I was just with you.
I give a damn if Tiny Tim walks.
By the way, yeah. Carl,
it doesn't matter who controls the House. There will be a new speaker in 2015.
Aw, a different color. Too bad. Okay, I was getting used to the orange, weren't you?
Yeah. Jesus was orange.
Megyn Kelly. Have you chimed in on Selfiegate yet, Carlos? Because you know that was the big story.
Boy, I took a selfie. Watch out. Mm-hmm. He's a regular
Can
person.
You believe it? Our president getting along with people at the funeral of a peacemaker? Disgusting.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly. And actually not a funeral. It was the celebration of his life at
a
stadium.
Memorial service,
it was
yeah.
not the...
Yeah,
you know how black folks get when they like to celebrate. Come on now.
Well, he's Black Santa because he's a socialist, as
yeah,
you know.
That's right.
Yeah. He just... Well, I think we've said it before. His speech, Transcendent. Amazing, but I think the way he started it was probably what was off-putting to some people, as you recall. What? Never mind. About the Danish Prime Minister, you remember.
You remember.
Oh.
Back in the day.
Okay.
Hang on.
Where are the white women at?
Right, that's how he opened the speech, and I think that's what set people off. All right. I love this. We talked about this yesterday, Chris. John, the New York Post columnist, what's her name?
Andrea Pizer.
She demands Obama apologize for the whole selfie story.
Yes.
The
amount of conservatives laughing at her is hilarious.
Oh, my God. We have officially reached peak Selfiegate. Everyone seems to have an overreaction to the controversy surrounding President Obama taking a selfie with several world leaders at the Mandela Memorial this week. New York Post conservative columnist Andrea Pizer went one step Thursday by demanding that Obama apologize to everyone for his flirty behavior and for Selfiegate in general.
Flirty.
She wrote a nice, I'm not kidding, President Obama has some splaining to do to the woman he married, to his daughters, to the people of South Africa,
boy,
to the scandalized folks here at home. He owes the world an apology.
And remember when George W. Bush gave a massage to the German chancellor? Yeah. He said, get your armadillo hands
off me. What are you
me.
Doing?
Get them out of here, you idiot. Here, let me get you rubbed down. Hey, German chancellor. Hey, Greta, how you feeling?
We have no actual information whether Angela Merkel said, get your armadillo hands off me.
Get those grubby armadillos off.
But I did
hands.
Say, as a woman, she had the universal expression that all women recognize, the gack reflex.
What she probably said was, das reicht.
Hey,
Jim, that's enough.
You're a
Take back the knock.
Guy. What about the woman that died in a plane crash?
Nine means nine. Just say nine. All right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the combination of Fridays with Fugle saying and Coffee with Carlos, which is a frothy.
It's a caffeinated
brew.
Weekend.
It's a coffee brew. It's a frothy little brew. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not bad. Like Frisbee golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 49 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by No Hair Removal System.
John just referenced the 99 hair removal.
I just caught
something on CNN. I don't know if they meant this, but there was a picture of Christiana Amanpour, and then it went to Christian Mingle, and I thought, Christiana Amanpour, mingle.com. If you want to mingle with Christiana Amanpour.
Right. Oh, that's like Tea Party Harmony.
Go to Christiana Amanpour.
The dating system for Tea Party members that Rocky Mountain Mike brought us.
I love Christian Mingle. I find God's hookup for me. And the best thing about it is if your relationship doesn't work out, you can blame God for being a crappy yenta.
All right. Tomorrow night, kids, is the final Sexy Liberal 2013 in Seattle. Jim Ward.
Seattle. Want to end 2013 on a high note? Then get your tickets now for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, coming to the Paramount Theater December 14th, 2013.
Oh, babies, who's ready to get their sexy on with mama?
Go to sexyliberal.com for ticket information and all things sexy liberal. Once again, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Paramount Theater on December 14th, 2013. Be there and brace yourselves for some sexy liberal action.
Mm. And you know the great thing? Only will it be will we be there and Hal and our friend Dan Savage, and not only is it the first ever show of the Sexy Liberal Tour, but I'm finally doing something I've never done and selling merch. So
there'll
be merch there, and there'll be Sexy Liberal CDs there too.
That's great.
And Rocky Mountain Mike and Company will be opening up the show. I believe it may be brought to you by the speaking of
finding true right wing love is a challenge. So that's why I created Tea Party Harmony. We're the only site that has the patented 19 dimensions of douchebaggery, where you're certain to find someone just as greedy, xenophobic, and narrow-minded as you.
When I met Sam for our first date at the firing range, it was just boom.
We both know that Obama was born in Hawaii.
But that's not really America.
I don't like taxes.
I'm afraid of brown people.
There's no such thing as nuance at Tea Party Harmony. Don't tread on me.
But I found out he kind of likes that.
Find that one person who's going to love you passionately for the gun-toting Tea Party nut you really are. It all starts with your sociopathic personality profile. Right now, review your compatible wing nuts for free at TeaPartyHarmony.com.
Yay. Just go to KKK.TeaPartyHarmony.com.
Dave and Madison, you're on with Carlos and John and Company. Hello, Dave.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning,
gentlemen.
Good morning, baby.
I'd first like to apply for the position of official liquor dealer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Liquor, I just met her. What?
And just as a little point of interest, I happen to live right around the corner from the Barrymore in Madison.
Oh, do you?
Really now?
We could do some things.
Yes, we could. I believe the March 29th Barrymore show is already sold out. There may be a little, you know, some straggler tickets. But we will see you there.
Well, I, of course, am one of those holders.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
And we'll be happy to stand up and flail it in the air for you so you can see whose house you should come to after the show.
Yikes.
But anyway, I'm really calling today because I had a realization the other day about who really started the war on Christmas. And I thought you may be interested to hear this. Mm-hmm.
Capitalists.
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby did.
Bing Crosby. Happy holidays.
Right.
I don't know the words, but I bet Jim does.
Right.
That's
true.
Thing.
He did.
Happy holidays.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. I'm going to go beat my boys with a bag of oranges.
When the blues
what?
Of the night.
I don't know. What, I, that
I'm
was, I was
dreaming
riffing.
Of a white Jesus.
All right. Speaking of socialism, Kathleen Sebelius is talking about Obamacare.
Consumers now have until December 23rd to sign up for coverage that begins on the 1st of January. And we're recommending that health insurers extend this deadline further.
Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, still hoping for bad things for everyone for Obamacare.
There are a lot of reasons to be skeptical about January 1st because that's the day it's not about a website, but it's about people's real health care.
Oh my God.
And for people with chronic conditions who need medications and ongoing doctor visits, there's great fear and anxiety among those people.
People with chronic conditions that could lead to something that could kill them, they won't be covered under their old plans.
Right. What the hell? Okay. Representative Steve Scalise, who was he, Republican of Louisiana?
Yes. I don't think it'll be enough next November just to be against Obamacare. I think we ought to be able to actually go put on paper what we stand for and compare that to the president's health care law to show American people what the differences are between our parties.
Right, and that is?
And that is?
We'll get back to you.
Mandates were from the Heritage Foundation. Where did the Heritage Foundation?
Who let the dogs out?
It's labeled crickets, but it's not.
I got crickets.
Okay.
All right. Why do we need those? Why do we need dogs or crickets?
Well, because they have nothing, and so you got crickets.
Because he's here. Ken Starr's dogs have come along.
Dogs, we eat the cancer out of you.
That was this Ken Starr impression. I remember that.
I was concerned about Jim's conspiracy theory about the woman that died in the plane crash who was in charge of the hospital records in Hawaii. Because Donald Trump seems to think it was a conspiracy.
That's huge.
Eight people died.
I think an Obama
conspiracy tax could balance the budget by Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pardon me. Excuse me. I got my last phlegm ball. All right. I was talking. Oh, speaking of, I forgot this one, too. Speaking of conspiracies, Jim. Former Vice President Dick Cheney thinks Jackson Hole police are watching him from the air. Not just him, but everybody. He says drones are okay with him, though. The Teton County Sheriff's Office says that they do not have drones.
Those are Amazon drones. Bringing them new ammunition.
Trying to deliver a new heart, maybe?
Yeah.
If just you're like not the breaking the law, you have nothing to worry about. Unfortunately, I made my crimes legal before I did them.
You're a mean one, Mr.
Now,
Cheney.
If you'll excuse me, I've got to throw some raw meat to my daughter Liz.
I'm going to shoot somebody in the face.
Hey, Sabretooth, come here.
That's what I said. That's how he's going to solve the problem. Take the two daughters hunting.
What's that over in the woods? There in the woods, Liz.
Pooh. Oh, for God's sakes. The Stephanie Miller Show does not mean to imply that Dick Cheney would shoot his gay daughter so his straight daughter can win a Senate seat.
Things happen.
We once again apologize.
Things break around here, Colonel.
Accidents
happen, Colonel. Sorry about that, Colonel.
All right.
Accidents will happen.
All right. This is, listen, this has gone off the rails. John Fiegel saying, I will see you tomorrow night on stage, Sexy Liberal, along with Hal Sparks, Jim Ward, Dan Savage, our celebrity guest panelist, Carlos Alzraki to join us in 2014 for Sexy Liberal. All very, very exciting. I'll see you in Seattle. We love you, Seattle! I get so horny when I'm in Seattle. You know that, John.
A boy can dream. I'll see you there.
Yeah. All right.
Watch out, Ivars.
All right. Love you guys. See you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.